Welcome to the Music, Money, and Life podcast. Music, Money, and Life is brought to you by howtolicenseyourmusic.com. For a free 4-hour audio video course all about how to make money licensing your music in TV, films, ads, and more, visit howtolicenseyourmusic.com today. Now, let's get to today's podcast.
But I think that just got me, that got you on my radar, and I must have joined your mailing list. So
okay.
I'm pretty, you know, up to date, and I read all your posts, and I've listened to a bunch of your podcasts over the years, because you were kind of, you know, really one of the first educators in the space, in the music licensing space.
Yeah.
And there, you know, there really wasn't much established back then. So you were kind of one of the first, you know, local gurus sharing knowledge.
Well, nice of you to say. So welcome to another episode of Music, Money, and Life, everybody. Today I'm speaking with an LA-based composer, musician. I'm speaking with Kyle Whitland. Kyle, how are you doing today?
Aaron, I'm great, man. Thank you so much. How are you?
I'm doing great. So we were just kind of catching up and reminding each other of how we're, why we're aware of each other and how we came to know each other initially way back in like 2007, 2008. And I know from looking at your website, and I was looking at it again this morning, that you've done a lot of licensing over the years. Was that around the time that you initially, when did you initially get involved in sync licensing, Kyle?
It was probably, oh man, I need to go look at this certificate on my wall from UCLA. Can you give me one sec?
Sure.
Okay, it would have been right around 2007.
Okay.
I had recently been fired from a job on the business side of the music industry, which really turned out to be the best thing that ever happened to me. And I was kind of down in the dumps trying to figure out what my path forward was going to be. And all of a sudden, I kind of learned about, you know, what a composer does, like a modern composer. And I started listening to, you know, the music that was getting used on film and TV. And I thought, oh my God, I can do this. And around that time, I studied film scoring at the UCLA Extension's film scoring program. And through meeting people there and through talking to the professors, I kind of learned about the, you know, music licensing side of the industry. And I started doing my own research. I found you and your company, and I started making tracks. And I remember at the beginning, it was like, you know, a lot of Craigslist, you know, going on Craigslist. In fact, I probably got connected to you originally through Craigslist.
Yeah.
From an ad that you would have posted.
Yeah, I used to post. I was just talking with someone about this the other day, that when I initially started my business and my first course, I would post on Craigslist like an hour a day, every day. That was all I did. And I would get sales every day. It was a very different time back then, you know, in terms of sync licensing and internet marketing.
Yeah.
So cool. So you got started around 2007. And what was your initial... How did you initially get your first few placements? How did you get started?
Well, I just wanted to say, first of all, that I do remember, you know, submitting to these music libraries and, you know, music license companies and getting rejected and, you know, getting a lot of rejection. And it just showed me that, you know, where the bar was and that I needed to get better. And I remember one company in particular, the owner kind of, you know, he kind of made me feel bad. But in hindsight, without that tough love, I never would have gotten my music, you know, up to par. Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of grateful for those early rejections. And that's, of course, something like that every artist needs to hear, is like, you got to be open, and you can't get hurt because there's going to be a lot of rejection. Even when you're more established, there's going to be a lot of rejection.
Sure.
It's just part of our industry.
Yeah.
To answer your question, the first, well, I scored a feature length documentary that my roommate was making around that early time. Kind of was a great little training ground for me. And then I think I got accepted. I was watching late night TV. It was, Carson Daly or something like that. And during the commercial, his announcer said, you know, tonight's music has been provided by Jingle Punks. Mm. And as you might know, Jingle Punks is, they're a music licensing house. They've got offices all over. And so right. I went to their web and I applied, and I recently had upgraded my samples. I guess I bought some virtual instruments that helped me sound better, right? If you're producing music using samples, you're kind of only as good as the quality of your samples. So I had just made a couple new tracks, and I guess they were good enough to get me into this library. And that was kind of the beginning of my music licensing career, and getting regular sync placements.
Nice. Do you remember your first placement?
Yes, I do. I do. My wife and I were at my friend's wedding in Montreal, and I got an email saying, congratulations, your song, what was it called? Something like Conga Line or Conga Dance, something, you know, like that. Mm-hmm. And it was used in a show called 10 Things I Hate About You.
Sure, yeah.
And it was just such an exciting feeling. And then I remember, you know, I had recently signed up with BMI, the Performing Rights Organization. And, you know, my first check was like, you know, $12 or something like that. And, you know, how exciting it was to finally have sort of, you know, cracked taken that first little step. And, you know, the cool thing, as you know, about sync licensing is once it's in the system and getting used, it just keeps working for you. And if you're lucky, getting used over and over. So that cue, it doesn't do much these days, but I still get royalties from that first original placement, which was all those years ago, you know, 16, 17 years ago.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it is powerful in that way.
Yeah, no, I still get paid for the very first song that I placed, which was 22 years ago or something. Pretty much every year I'll get one or two placements of this particular song, which is kind of crazy that all these years later it's still getting synced.
I love that, man. I love
that.
Yeah,
that's one of the cool things about licensing. Licensing, as you know, can be a very slow-paced, sort of anticlimactic business, but then it's very cool that the sort of passive income nature of music licensing and the fact that you can keep generating income year after year for tracks that you made years ago.
That's right. And how exciting it can be going over like your royalty statement and to see a track from the past that was maybe laying dormant that all of a sudden, you know, secured some license, you know, either yep. here or abroad. I do love that.
Yeah. So very cool. So you started with Jingle Punks and you got your first few initial placements through them. And then what has your strategy been like over the years? How has it sort of changed and evolved? Can you talk about sort of what your career has been like in terms of places you've placed music through?
Yeah. I guess during that time where I was sort of excited about the industry and growing, I was regularly submitting to, you know, a lot of places. I think I must have signed about, you know, a couple dozen publishing deals with different music houses and music libraries in North America and even a couple in Europe. And then what you realize is that, you know, only a handful of them are actually getting you any placements, any work.
Right.
And then sort of you just start focusing on the companies that are getting you the placements. So that was one strategy. And then another strategy that really I'm suggesting to any, you know, younger up and coming producers is you kind of got to make your own luck. And what I mean by that is, like, I remember being at a party years ago, and I met this woman, and she told me that she was working on some TV show as a PA or something like that. And so I started asking her questions, and basically we got to the place where she was going to put me in touch with the music supervisor for the show. Mm-hmm. And I remember I put together a really good looking package. Back then I probably had like an actual CD, you know, and with my resume, and I made that happen. And so the music supervisor put me in touch with composer who was writing custom score for the show. And I ended up, getting in on the ground floor, with that composer who had just started, you know, a little boutique music licensing company. And that way I was really able to get sort of first dibs on whatever shows and whatever scenes, this particular composer was working on. And if I hadn't, you know, been out there, meeting people and sort of networking, that wouldn't have happened. So that ended up getting my music used in a bunch of cool shows, you know, probably about a decade ago now. But I remember, like, you know, my wife and I would hop into bed and, you know, watch these shows, most of them reality shows. Mm-hmm. And we'd watch the episodes, and all of a sudden it'd be like, oh, there's your music. And then 5 minutes later, oh, another cue. And it was just such an exciting time, which culminated probably during the finale of this one show. I think it was called The Hero, and it was hosted by The Rock, Dwayne Johnson. And during the last episode, during, like, you know, the final scene where they're going to announce the winner of the show, I remember, and the winner is, and all of a sudden my track came on at that moment. And I was like, I was so blown away because, you know, it was a pretty big, exciting moment to hear your music being used. So yeah, that was so cool. And then, you know, then we had our daughter, who's now about to be 10 years old. And so that kind of changed my whole world. And my productivity really got, knocked way, way down in terms of the amount of tracks that I was pumping out. But up until that point, you know, I have several hundred pieces of music sort of floating out there, that are still working for me. But in the last 10 years, it's really gone a lot, and I am now in the process of, you know, regenerating and, creating new music.
Cool. So you're kind of getting back into it more actively.
Exactly.
So you talked about networking, and you talked about going to this party where you made this contact, which helped you get a number of placements, it sounds like. In your experience, what is the sort of difference in terms of how many tracks have you placed just by submitting your music blindly to sort of random different companies versus music you've placed as a direct result of making contact with people in person?
It's a great question. I'm going to say that about 75% of my licenses come from just the work I did all those years ago, you know, submitting my music to existing music libraries and music licensing companies, that I would have found, you know, it was originally through Craigslist. It would have been through your directories, companies I heard about through you and other, music licensing, you know, gurus. I'd say, yeah, about 75% that way, and then 25% through my own, personal relationships. The projects that I've scored that have been, like, you know, documentaries or short films or, web series, those have come through personal relationships, and my own networking in person or in real life, if you will.
Okay, got you. So a combination of both, like 75, 25, it sounds like.
Yeah, yeah.
Cool. And how would you say, Kyle, because it looks like you've placed you know, your music in a lot of different projects. How would you say licensing has impacted your overall music career? In what ways has it helped your music career outside of licensing?
That's a great question. Okay, a couple things. First of all, it's just, it's exciting.
Sure.
Like, never mind the financial bonus of getting paid for your music, but, you know, I remember sitting in my, you know, living room when we were renting a house in Hollywood, my wife and I, and we were watching American Idol, and literally, like two or three days before, I had pulled an all-nighter in my studio in the backyard, writing a couple cues, because one of the libraries put out a brief, like, you know, American Idol, they need this type of music immediately. And I stayed up all night. I remember when I sent it off, I left my studio, the sun was coming up, you know, and literally 2 days later on that episode, the track I had just submitted was in the episode. And that just injected me with, like, it just made me feel like on top of the world, you know?
Yeah. No, I know that feeling. Absolutely.
You know that. Yeah, exactly. It's exciting. Just, it doesn't matter what the production is, man. Just to hear your music, supporting, a show or a scene or an ad. It's just nice to know that your music was chosen to do that job, which is why you created it in the first place.
Yeah.
So there's the confidence it gives you, because, like, I mean, you know this better than anyone. Like, we do this because we love this, and we would be doing this whether they were paying us or not.
Yeah.
So it's just a nice bonus. So it's giving you confidence. It's filling your cup. It's, but then, you know, I'm the music director at a private school here in Los Angeles. And one of the classes I teach is, you know, it's a music production class. And I'm teaching the students, you know, how to use Logic. And when I'm teaching them, I'm bringing in examples from my own career where I'm showing them behind the scenes of some of the cues that not only have been accepted to the libraries, but have been placed on shows. So, you know, I'll open up, like, the, you know, I've had some great cues used on Saturday Night Live, and I bring those in, and the kids, first we watch the scene.
Yeah.
And I'll say, hey guys, you know why I'm showing you this? And then I tell them, like, that music that you just heard, that was music I created by myself in Logic, you know, using many of the same samples that you have available to you right now. And then I'll open up the session and, you know, show them some of the magic that went into it. But it allows me to, you know, share my passion with my students. And that is huge, because when you're talking about something that is so near and dear to your heart, you could talk about it forever, right? It's easy to share the stuff you love.
Yeah.
So there's that. And then, of course, you know, just, I don't know, I guess on my website, it adds credibility, I guess, because, you know, oh, this guy, he's had his music licensed in, you know, over 100 different shows. And I even know some of the shows. So it gives you credibility. And I don't know. I'm sure I'm missing something, but it gives you a reason to keep going on that path, you know?
Yeah. That all makes sense to me. Do you perform as well? I think you do, or you did at one point, if I recall correctly from your website.
Yeah, I do love performing. And, you know, before I got more serious into music licensing and before I had my daughter, I was performing with several different outfits here in LA. Some, you know, indie folk rock stuff, some hip hop stuff. But I kind of realized I had to make a choice. Once I, you know, got together with my wife it was like either you're going to have to go on the road and sort of tour in order to make some money, or you're going to sit in your studio, possibly, you know, in your underwear, making your own music. And I think I knew in my heart that I wanted to take that route. And, you know, I always think back, like, in high school, before technology became such a part of indie music, like how we could do it ourselves. And I was, you know, playing bands and I was playing different instruments and just loving it. And I remember one of my buddies saying to me, "Hey man, you know, listen to this, like, electronic music. This is the future." And I thought, like, forget it, man. I don't want any part of that. Meanwhile, you know, as soon as I sort of finished college, you know, I got an MBOX and Pro Tools, and I just sort of started realizing that if I wanted to be a creator, that I needed to get comfortable with technology, and that it really, how powerful it is, because I always kind of knew what I wanted each instrument to do, because I can play so many of those instruments, but without the technology, you can't, you know, I couldn't do what I've been doing and what I am doing without the tech. It's just so incredible and so powerful. And, you know, we are very fortunate to be living in this time, because think about what we have, like, in our phones or in our laptops. I mean, it would have been a $500,000 studio 25, 30 years ago.
Yeah, the barrier to entry is much, much lower, and certainly in terms of music production, as far as that tech goes.
Yeah, exactly.
So you've been doing this all these years, based on what you've learned over the years, what advice do you have for artists that are just getting involved in sync now? What would you have done differently, and what would you recommend that artists do that are just looking to get into sync in 2024?
Great question. A lot of answers to that one. Okay. First tip I already mentioned is, do not fear the rejection. Just you keep going. Second thing is, be true to yourself. Like, why are you getting into this? Like, do you love music for real? Would you do this even if they weren't paying you? If the answer is yes, then you're on the right path, and you should keep going forward, because if you love it and it's in your heart and this is your thing, this is your direction, then you must go forward. The next tip is, you know, I remember, like, at UCLA, the professors were always saying, you know, you got to find your voice. And I know that this takes time for everyone, as it did for me, but really, like, you got to play to your strengths. And while at the beginning of my licensing career, I was kind of chasing, you know, all opportunities, meaning, like, whatever genre they were looking for, I was sort of trying my hand at it. But today I have a much different frame of mind, because my time to create is so much more limited. But really play to your strengths. Like, what are your instruments? What genres do you really, really resonate with? Because there's a need for all different kinds of music in our industry. So I would definitely play to your own strengths, because it'll help you avoid getting burnt out prematurely. Because if you're, you know, doing stuff that really doesn't align with you as perfectly as it can, then I think you're going to get fatigued quicker than if you were doing stuff that really, the real you.
Yeah. Yeah, so be authentic, in other words. Don't just chase the latest trend.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Be as authentic to yourself as you can. And I know that, especially when you're brand new, you got to do a lot of trial and error and experimenting. So I understand that, but don't lose sight of what your real gifts are. What are your real musical gifts? Even if you think they're weird, you've got to embrace that and celebrate that and push that forward. And I had one more tip that was just on the tip of my tongue. What was it? I don't know. You go ahead. Hopefully it'll come back to me.
Yeah, maybe it'll come back to you. When you first started out, so this is, you know, I'm working with a few different clients right now in one of my programs for music licensing, and something I sense a lot from artists that are first starting out, and I can certainly sympathize with this, is the sort of slow nature of getting started in sync licensing. You know, it can take so much time to find companies, sign contracts, submit your tracks, and then it's sort of a waiting game. Do you have any sort of motivational advice for artists that are getting frustrated with the slow nature of licensing? Did you experience that in the beginning when you were first starting out?
Oh yeah, for sure. Things do take forever. I think you have to be relentless. You have to just keep going.
Yeah.
You know, finish your tracks. It says 10 minutes left, just a heads up on
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I got it.
Okay. And, you know, you got to do what you can to survive at the beginning. And, you know, I'm just grateful that I was able to find other work in the music industry, which allowed me to stay afloat.
Yeah.
And actually, just sort of backtrack, but I've recently got this great, it's a performance gig where I'm playing live percussion for these like yoga and dance classes,
mm-hmm.
on top of, you know, whatever the DJ or the instructor is playing. And so basically any gig, as long as there's some tie into music, in my opinion, is a great gig. You know, I used to work for a security company that was doing, you know, the Grammys and the, you know, American Music Awards and, you know, the Golden Globes, and like any way that you can get out there and meet people in the industry, even if it's not perfectly in music, just get out there and meet people and start talking to people. Don't be shy. Tell people what you do. You know, things are never going to be perfect. Just, you know, have your demo reel up on SoundCloud. I know our tracks could always be better, but that's why you just keep updating it. And, you know, you got to take, even if the action you take is imperfect, it's better than taking no action at all.
Yeah.
Because if you don't take that action, someone else is, and they're the ones that are going to get the gig because their name is out there, even though you may be, you know, more talented or have a better quality product.
Yeah.
So you've got to just don't be shy. Like, I know we want it to be perfect, but just do it anyways. And then it'll just continue to get better and more refined. We have to operate that way.
Yeah, absolutely. How have you, just a couple more questions and then we'll wrap up, Kyle.
Sure.
What changes have you seen in licensing over the years since you've started? Are there one or two sort of like big ways the industry has changed from your perspective?
I think, and you would know better than I think your finger is more on the pulse, but whereas we would just be submitting single tracks back in the day, I believe now in the last many years, the trend has been to create full blown production albums, where you make, you know, a full album of 10 to whatever, 12 cuts in one genre.
Yeah.
And then submit that to your library. And I think, I don't know, but I think most libraries are now going exclusive. That's probably been a trend for a while now as well. So those are two, that I think, but again, you know, I haven't been, as involved as I would have liked.
Yeah, the last few years.
Yeah.
Excellent. Well, listen, Kyle, we're almost out of time here. I think this is probably a good place to wrap up. I really appreciate you doing this. I appreciate you taking the time to speak with us today. And what I would like to do, and it's been a while since I've done this, but I used to, back in the day, always end the podcast with a track from whoever the featured guest is. So if you're up for this, I'd love for you to send me a track, any track. It can be something new that you're working on, and we'll play that at the end of the podcast so people can hear your music.
Oh, that's fantastic and so scary as well.
Why is it scary?
Well, first of all, I have a lot of music, and you know how it is. Like, you listen to your own tracks way too many times. You can get burnt out on them, and you're being able to judge your own music is very difficult. So thinking about what I would send to you, I'll have to think on it, but I appreciate that, and I will send you something for sure.
Yeah, send me whatever you like, and then at the end I can edit in the name of the track, and we'll...
Fantastic.
And let's tell people where they can find out more about you, learn more about you. Your website, I believe, is kylewhitlin.com. Can you spell that out for people?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's K-Y-L-E, Whitlin, W-I-T-T-L-I-N.com. And that is currently the best place to reach out to me. As soon as you go to my website, a pop down appears where you can give me your email, and I will then be able to stay in touch with you that way. And for any aspiring up and coming music producers or singer songwriters, rappers, whatever, I'm just about to launch a new business. It's basically a music producer mastermind for anyone who's working in Logic. So if you're interested in knowing more about that, please do go to my website, and I'll send out once my product goes live. So that's something I'm very excited about.
Awesome. Excellent. Well, listen, Kyle, thank you so much for doing this, and enjoy the rest of your day and enjoy your weekend.
Aaron Davison, thank you so much, man. I really appreciate it. Have a great one.